सरस्वती ठाकुर महाराज की जय, अनंत कोटि वैष्णव की जय, रामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। वृंदावन धाम की जय, मथुरा धाम की जय, पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय, श्री मायापुर नवदीप धाम की जय, गंगा मय की जय, यमुना मय की जय, तुलसी देवी की जय, भक्ति देवी की जय, गौर प्रेमानंदे। All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जाय उदिरे नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 10 एंटाइटल्ड द नेचर ऑफ फ्रुएटिव एक्टिविटी टेक्स्ट 20। कोन्वर्थ सुखत्येनम् कामो वा मृत्युरंतिके आघातम नियमानस्य वध्यस्येव न तुष्टिदाम्। कोन्वर्था सुखत्तेनम् कामो वा मृत्युरंतिके आघातम नियमानस्य वध्यस्येव न तुष्टिदाम्। कोन्वर्था सुखत्तेनम् कामो वा मृत्युरंतिके आघातम नियमानस्य वध्यस्येव न तुष्टिदा। माताजीज पुनर्था सुखत्तेनम् को वा मृत्युरंतिके कह व्हाट नु सर्टनली अर्थः मटेरियल ऑब्जेक्ट सुखयति गिव्स हैप्पीनेस a naam to a person. Kamaha, sense gratification derived from material things. Va, or nutyu, death. Antike, standing nearby. Aghatam, to the place of execution. Niyamanasya, of one who is being led. One who is being led. Vadyasya, of one who is to be killed. Eva, like. Na, not at all. Tushtida, gives satisfaction. Translation: death is not at all pleasing, and since everyone is exactly like a condemned man being led to the place of execution, what possible happiness can people derive from material objects or the gratification they provide? Purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. It is customary throughout the world that a condemned man is offered a sumptuous last meal. For the condemned man, however, such a feast is a chilling reminder of his imminent death, and therefore he cannot enjoy it. Similarly, no sane human being can be satisfied in material life, because death is standing near and may strike at any moment. If one is sitting in one's living room with a deadly snake at one's side, knowing that at any moment the poisonous fangs might pierce the flesh, how can one sit peacefully and watch television or read a book? Similarly, unless one is more or less crazy, one cannot be enthusiastic or even peaceful in material life. Knowledge of the inevitability of death should encourage one to become determined in spiritual life. Om Agyanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swam Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavasha Shri Rupam Sagrajatan Sahagana Ragunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Runda Vaneshwari Rushabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasadi Gaura Bhaktarunda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Death is not at all pleasing, and since everyone is exactly like a condemned man being led to the place of execution, what possible happiness can people derive from material objects on the gratification they provide? Hare Krishna, seeking the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas so that I can speak something on this particular verse. So in this verse, it is mentioned that, you know, any moment the poisonous fangs might pierce the flesh, and the desire, the last wish of a person who is on the who is laid down, whose head is to be cut off. So we have heard this in many times in many dramas or movies. Ki tumhari antim ichha kya hai batao. And this particular verse is now giving the purport on this. What should be the desire at the last time of, you know, at the time of death? So a few years back, in there was a serial which used to come on Animal Planet called The Crocodile Hunter, The Croc Files. That was the name of that serial. I don't know how many of you have seen or heard about this. But there used to be an Australian zookeeper, and his name was Steve Irwin. And this fellow and his wife also, they used to be always seen with crocodiles. Of course, they were saving crocodiles, and you know, so they were serving the community of crocodiles actually, and reptiles. So they'll be seen with some snakes, some deadly snake they will catch and try to save them. That was their, you know, and it used to be shot live, and then those things were shown telecast. So this person, once in year 2006, they were making one documentary called Ocean's Deadliest. And he was underwater and under the sea, inside the sea, the shooting was going on. And while this was happening, they were doing some research on stingray. And this stingray, one of the stingray barb, actually pierced his heart and killed. And they are poisonous. Instantly, he died there. So you can imagine that person who is thinking about all these reptiles, all these crocodiles and all these fishes. And the name of the documentary was Ocean's Deadliest. And he died in that ocean in the association of stingrays. What an unfortunate situation for him. No? Similarly, this is one aspect of it. And a few years back, I was doing book distribution along with devotees at Kurla station. And while I was doing this book distribution, one lady, middle-aged lady, she came to me and she said, "I want to buy Bhagavad Gita." So I was happy that, somebody is coming forward and asking, "I want Bhagavad Gita." So I asked, "How many Bhagavad Gitas you want?" She said, 30. So I was very happy, you know, almost jumping. So I said, "Yes, definitely we can provide you." So I just asked you out of curiosity, "Why you want?" So she said, "I want to send it to my village. You know, there are some death which took place and I want to distribute Bhagavad Gita because of that." I said, "Fine." So I said, "There are 30 books, so it's a box, one box. So we will personally come and deliver it to your house. Please give your address." And me and one more devotee, we both went and we actually gave the books. And when we started interacting with this family, so we got to know that, you know, she has two young sons in the age of 24, 25, you know. And of course her husband was there, and husband's mother, old mother, was there. And she was lying on the bed, very old, maybe in 90s, maybe. So then just they were telling that, okay, how pious this our family is, how my grandmother, she is to read Ramayana so much. So I said, "We can do something for your grandmother. You know, she's almost on her last breath." So he said, we can come and do kirtan. And then so we said that we'll come sometime and then we'll do this. And then we went again for doing kirtan and all those things for them. And then again, while interaction, these two young boys, they were really wonderful. I mean, it's very rare to see at that age, you know, young boys leaving everything and serving grandmother. You know? One of them actually had quit his job and he was full-time taking care of his grandmother. And then actually we are just asking, and then we are reading Bhagavad Gita also. And then one amazing thing which they told us, which was shocking of course. They said that actually our grandmother, she wants, one of the boys, he said that she wants me to get married. And she wants to come back as my daughter. I said, "What is this? I mean, you are reading Ramayana, you are doing studying so much, and but now you are saying that I want to come back?" I said, "I should have given coming back also to her as a book to read." But she said, then he said, no, this is not just her wish. This is going on in tradition. And then they started telling us that how from they used to live once upon a time, the earlier generation used to live in Karachi or Lahore, somewhere in Pakistan. So she said that we have come back, you know. So they know. And I said that you may be just joking, you know, must be telling something. He said, no. Actually, one of the family members, they actually knew where they used to live, and they actually, that when they was in a childhood, actually told where they used to live. I said, this is shocking. I said, now we need to change this. We need to stop this, you know, of this coming back again and again in this parampara. So I said that, please read this Bhagavad Gita and, you know, please read it out to her so that she leaves and she goes. So anyway, I don't know what happened to her. Of course, I was there when she left, but where she went, we don't know. Whether they are, now this son has daughter, so I don't know whether she's the same or no. But, you know, that is the coming back thing. And even there was one warrior there was an English warrior and poet. His name was Sir Walter Raleigh. And he was to be executed. The king told that he should be killed, and he was lying on the beheading block, and the executioner asked this Walter Raleigh that he asked him to kneel and he's with his head towards the east. I said, I don't know what is the reason of that, but he said that head should be towards the east. And the interesting thing which this Sir Walter Raleigh said, no matter how the head lies, provided the heart is in the right direction. Now, this is coming from a person. I mean, we have heard this philosophy that where our heart should be when we are leaving this body. But this is coming from this person. And when I heard this, it was really like, you know, at this, this is many years back, many centuries back. So, you know, this is the consciousness which we should look at. And we have wonderful examples in our own movement. The way Srila Prabhupada left his body, then various legacy, His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, our own God brothers, His Grace Stoka Krishna Prabhu. So we have such wonderful examples how we can live our body in a right consciousness, in a right environment. Now, of course, these are the examples which we have to take inspiration from. Not all the times we'll have. We don't know whether devotees will be there around or not, but at least our consciousness should be right. So that is what we should always aspire for. So we have heard this statement that life is a preparation and death is the examination. So in this verse also it is mentioned that so many, we are trying to be happy in this material life. But this death is the examination. Before the actual death comes, this final exam comes, we have so many other unit tests. There is a final exam in semesters or first year, and there is a third year, fourth year. But during that, there are unit tests which come. So many unit tests are also coming in our life also. You know, various miseries which are coming. Adidaivik, Adhyatmik, Adibhautik. All these miseries are coming in our life, and also coming in people around us. And actually, all these tests which are coming, they are teaching us something or other. If it is not coming in our life for so much, but at least we see the people who are dying, people who are suffering. And these are actually the tests which are given, and to them, to us. So, we have to prepare ourselves for this final exam. That's the most important thing. And how well we are prepared is the most important thing. So my wife, she's doing her master's degree, and she was telling me a few days back she had one exam and she had to write. It was a lengthy paper. And she said that out of those 50 marks, I could complete only 30. Of course, So we never know that when that final bell will be rung and the examiner will come, and we may say, I want to write, but the examiner in the form of death, he will take away our paper. He said that enough, I had given you enough time, no more supplements, no more paper, no more writing, it will be just taken away. So if you are not prepared, then what will remain is just regret and disappointment. So we don't want to be in that position. So the scriptures also provide us a lot of information about death. There are so many pastimes which are there in Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, which talks about death. You know, Bhagavatam, the 5th canto, 26th chapter, also describes about 28 types of hells. You know, a sinful person can go through, you know, through these things. And it is really scary. And a person who is committing sins, when he realizes this, that, oh, that oh, I may have to go through this, then he may change mind, or he or she may think that, oh, better I should stop this. So scriptures are giving us the knowledge about death. But as a devotees, or for even general person, so the fear of death is there. Fear of death is there. But the most important, if you have to be fearful or having some fear, it should be a fear of our spiritual death. Huh? The spiritual death is very scary. Especially after knowing so much of philosophy, so much of understanding, this is something which we have to guard against. So what could be the causes? There may be many reasons for a spiritual death. One could be just the complacency in our life, that okay, I got to introduce now to Hare Krishna, I am practicing, but just the complacency, okay, now I am in the part of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, so my spiritual master will take me back to Godhead, it is his responsibility. That may be the thought, and we may become complacent. But the most important fear for the spiritual death is Vaishnava Aparad, or criticizing the devotees. We have to guard against this. And over a period of time, what happens is that we start becoming familiar with devotees, with each other, and we take each other for granted. This happens in the family life as well as brahmachari life also. We start just taking our devotee friends as granted, or sometimes even spiritual master also for granted. So this is something which really we need to guard against. So I came across one nice presentation, or it's an illumination which was given by His Grace Mahatma Prabhu, disciple of Srila Prabhupada. And so I thought that we can just share these things. So some of the quotes, one of the things which he said, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that one who criticizes, if one criticizes or offends my devotees, he will be destroyed by chanting my holy name. My holy name itself will destroy. Like you see the example of how Durvas Muni and Amrish Maharaj episode, the Lord's Sudarshan Chakra itself was following Durvas Muni. So we may not realize, but the holy name is like that Sudarshan, it is giving the darshan. It has that power also. So it that itself can kill us, destroy us. In our purport, Srila Prabhupada actually mentions that we can tolerate scorching heat on our head. The sun is shining and on head we can tolerate. But it is difficult to tolerate on the feet, especially when we go for yatra and we are walking barefoot, you know, in Vrindavan or Jagannath Puri. This year we'll go to Jagannath Puri on the beach. It will be very hot in the afternoon. You can't keep your feet. You'd have to search for some shelter, you know, some shade where you can walk. And if it is not, you have to just start running. So, very interesting, very nice thing where Prabhupada writes that actually the devotees are at the feet of the Lord. And if we offend those devotees who are sitting at the feet of the Lord will not tolerate that heat
of offenses to the lotus feet, the devotees who are sitting at the lotus feet. So we have to be extremely careful not to offend the devotees. And our success in bhakti actually depends on the blessings of the devotees. Without the blessings of the devotees, we cannot do any progress. And if you offend them, then what will happen? We are actually cutting ourselves from this connection to the blessings, which is required to maintain our Krishna conscious life. So we do not have to pull. Very interesting, very nice analogies that he says, that don't pull the plug of our spiritual life support system. So devotees are the life support system of our spiritual life. But by offending them, we may just pull the plug out. And then the death is just a matter of time. Now there are many things may happen that, you know, sometimes we talk loosely and offend devotees. And what will happen is that we may actually not fall down. We may just carry on with our own things. We will continue practicing our Krishna consciousness, doing services, and we may not actually fall down. And we may think, oh, it's okay. It's okay to speak like this. It's okay to behave like this. But ultimately, finally, that plug will be removed. And we don't know, before actually dying spiritually, we may go into coma. We may be wearing tilak, we may be wearing Vaishnava clothes, maybe chanting also. But we are in coma. We are not accessing the mercy of the Lord. So this is a very miserable and very scary thing to guard against the offenses. We see from various episodes in the scriptures, the tendency to criticize actually carries forward. At the time of death, you know, it's not that our tendency will go. In the next birth also it will carry forward. So we see the example of Daksha, Prajapati Daksha. He offended Lord Shiva. And in the next life, the same tendency was there and he offended Narad Muni. So the tendency will carry on. So we need to stop this somewhere. It's very, very essential thing that we should work on from preventing ourselves from committing such mistakes. The another thing which is mentioned in this particular verse is that knowledge of the inevitability of death should encourage one to become determined in spiritual life. So we will just discuss something about this determination aspect also. So if you look at the life there and people around, there are so many people, they have determination. And there are so many triggers for them to become determined. So if you see a film star or a sports star, successful sports star, they are so determined. Because without determination of to practice and exercise or years in whatever profession they have, or a businessman, he has to put in so much efforts with determination. Without that, they cannot achieve the success. So determination is a very important virtue for anyone in life. And various triggers are there for this determination. So I just thought of, you know, what could be the triggers. And I felt that ki dharma, artha, kama and moksha, this could be like some of the four triggers which can lead to determination. And there are some episodes from the scriptures also where we can see this. Like for example, Yudhishthir Maharaj was so attached to speaking the truth, following the dharma, his dharma. But Krishna, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, when he wanted Dronacharya to be killed, he made Yudhishthira to speak the words which he did not want to. but he convinced him, and ultimately Dronacharya was killed. Similarly, if you see the life of Dhruva Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj was insulted. He wanted to be on the lap of his mother, and he was removed from that position. So he wanted to have that kingdom. He wanted that position that no one can touch him, no one can throw him off from that position. So he did. He showed that determination. Okay, that I will go to the forest, on the instruction of his mother. And when Narad Muni meets him and says and tells him that okay, it's okay. Why are you going? He actually tried to test him. That okay, why you have to go? But then he said, no, I have to do this. So, later on, Dhruva Maharaj, although his initial aspiration was to have that position, later on he says that, okay, I was searching for this broken pieces of glass, but when I am getting the diamonds. And of course, he achieved the success when the Lord personally came and gave darshan to him. We also see from the life of Bilwa Mangal Thakur, how he was determined. We all heard and seen the wonderful drama which was performed many years back by Adhikesha Prabhu, Trivikram Prabhu. It was such a wonderfully depicted that he was so determined to meet this Chintamani, and he crosses the river with the help of the dead body corpse floating in the river, and then trying to climb up the wall with a rope, which is actually a snake. So much of determination was shown by him. But once he goes there, and Chintamani actually opens, she is a prostitute, actually opens his heart and says that, why can't you use the same determination to achieve the bhakti of the Lord, the devotional service of the Lord? So that was the kind of trigger which came in his life, Bilwa Mangal Thakur's life. And it just did not end at that. So when he was on the way to Vrindavan, and he met with this Brahmana and his beautiful wife, and then he had again that lust, that kama was there, that he wanted to enjoy with that Brahmana lady. And then after realizing his mistakes, he actually takes the pin, the hair pin of this lady, and pierces his eyes so that he doesn't never again able to see this material beauty and get attracted. That is the determination. So his determination was completely transformed from one thing to completely different aspect. We also see from the life of Chatush Kumaras, all these four Kumaras, they were the sons of Brahmaji. And they were having knowledge and they wanted to have liberation. So they said that, okay, Brahmaji's requested that we want to grow the progeny. That is the purpose. So please, they refused to do that. Not only that, they remained as children at Kumaras. They did not grow up because they did not want any of these things. But their focus was to merge with the Lord. Impersonal, this thing was there. But when they came at the doors of Vaikuntha, and when the aroma of the lotus feet of the Lord mixed with the tulsi, when that reached their nostrils, and when they smelled that fragrance of the lotus feet, the fragrance, they gave up their desire, their determination to aspire for this impersonal liberation. So these are some examples of dharma, artha, kama, moksha, and we can see many of these are there. We also see that how Hiranyakashipu, he was also having determination. But what was his motive? He wanted to achieve. He did so much of determination to achieve, and the result, end result was arrogance. So we don't want to have a determination which says that, oh, I want to, I achieved this. No, it's not for achieving, but for receiving the grace. So that can be achieved, that can be done only in the mode of humility. You know, you can see that, you know, Dhruva Maharaj in one sense was actually wanted to achieve that position, that Dhruva Loka. But when he achieved, when he received the mercy, his mood was completely different. It was completely mode of humility. So initially we may have a determination in the mode of passion, but ultimately it should translate into the, for the purpose of devotional service. So whenever this determination starts, it will be always checked. When you start practicing determination, it will be checked. So we can see this from the life of Haridas Thakur, Srila Haridas Thakur, who was none other than Brahmaji, who came in the age of Kali Yuga as Haridas Thakur, born in a Plechha family, low born. And he was very powerful. Brahmaji was very powerful, and it was not like us that he did not know who he is. Haridas Thakur did not know who I was in my past life. He knew that he is Brahmaji. But he practiced the humility, and he was called Namacharya. The first check was, there are many checks maybe, but I am talking about few checks. The first thing, when Ramchandra Khan became envious seeing the glories of Haridas Thakur, he sent this prostitute to him. And when this prostitute came, Haridas Thakur, as all of us know this pastime, Haridas Thakur just continued chanting within a humble mood. He was not boasting that, oh, I'm chanting so many rounds, so please come. It was not that mood. It was truly amazingly humble mood. He was saying that, okay, please wait, I need to complete my commitment of chanting. By seeing this commitment, by this humility and his attachment to the holy name, her heart transformed. So this is like one of the things which we see. Now we may sit for chanting and no prostitute will come here. Mayadevi will not come in the form of a prostitute. But Mayadevi coming in a different ways. The most thing, important thing, and a very dangerous thing which we have today, that we have our mobile phones, especially smartphones, which are sitting next to us when we are sitting for chanting. And this is Mayadevi, which is actually coming to us in the form of a prostitute. Because that phone has so many things which is more dangerous than a prostitute. So these checks will come, so we have to be careful. No? Then later on, Haridas Thakur, the Nawab and the Qazi, actually they planned that how he is chanting the holy name, being born in this community or this caste, how is he doing, how is he chanting these names? So we should stop this. And they gave him the punishment of 22 marketplaces, punishment of beating him in 22 marketplaces. And still, Haridas Thakur, he said, the people, the soldiers who were punishing him, beating him, they are seeing that he has gone through all these 22 marketplaces, he's not dead, because according to the past experience, within 2 or 3 marketplaces the person will die. But Haridas Thakur survived. Not only survived, he was preaching to these people who were trying to punish him. And they said that, you just stop this, you don't have to do anything else, just stop this chanting of this holy name. But he said that, khanda khanda hai deha jaya jadi prana tabu ami vadane na chari harinama. He said that, you may cut me into pieces, my body into pieces, but this body will not stop chanting the holy name. That was the determination of Srila Haridas Thakur. And later on, when Srila Haridas Thakur was in Jagannath Puri, about to leave his body, very frail condition, and the servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Govinda, he came to see and he said that, why are you in such condition? Why don't you take something? You can stop, you reduce your vow. So he refused to do that. Not only that, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally came, and he said that it's okay to reduce your vows, it is okay that you need not chant so much to take care of body. But in spite of even the Lord told, he refused. Now imagine that if the Lord tells, or even anyone or authority says that, okay, you need not chant 16 rounds and chant little less, what will be our reactions? You know, we can judge ourselves, what is our condition. So these are like some of the case studies which we see in the life of such various special souls who are teaching us that how we can practice determination. So I was thinking that probably we should discuss something of how to practice this determination, and I felt that there are 5 P's of determination. This P is the letter which I thought that we can see and try to focus. So one of the P's is prioritize. So priority is, we have to define that what is our priority, what is our long-term goal. That is one thing. That's how where we take our vows and our commitments, you know. So this is the question, why we are doing this, you know. This strong why should be checked. So then we know that these are our priorities. So then that is the first cycle, first P of that. The second thing is not only just prioritize and decide, okay, these are the things which we want to do, but we need to plan also. The second P is planning. So we need to plan how we are going to be determined in our life. What are the things which we should do? What are the things we should prioritize? What are the key things we should keep it on a second level? So once the planning is done, then the third thing which comes is practice. It's not that, okay, most of the times it happens that we may prioritize and plan, but we may not actually practice, put it into practice. So we need to practice it, this determination. And this is the toughest part, you know. Whenever we decide as we this now, there will be checks will come. Obstacles will come. And we say that we may give up. So no. So that determination need to be practiced. And how it should be practiced? It should be practiced with humility. Again, not like the Hiranyakashipu mood. Sometimes we say that, okay, now on Saturday Nirjala Ekadashi is there, and next day, you know, the whole day with determination we are thinking of water, and we complete the Nirjala Ekadashi, and next day the Paran time come, and then we drink, and we said, finally I achieved one more Nirjala. So is that the mood are we looking at? So I don't think so. So we have to see that how, in what mood we should practice this. Then the fourth thing is push or pull. So I'm making is push or pull because different contexts can be taken. So this push is of push of association or pull of association. The determination can be practiced by seeing or associating with the people who have determination. So we may have people around us who are very determined and they have shown determination. So just by being with them, we can practice determination. Or sometimes if they are not there, there are so many characters who are there in Bhagavad, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and by associating, by hearing about these characters, we can get inspiration from them to be determined. So this push and pull is important. So we have to collectively push each other and pull each other to practice determination. So that is something which is another P which is there. And with all these things, the most important thing is the prayer. Because ultimately this determination, to practice this determination, the power to practice this determination will come from the prayers, from by the grace, by praying to the Lord, praying to the devotees, praying to Srila Prabhupada, that let me practice this to please the Lord. Ultimately everything which we are doing is to please the Lord. So how we can practice this with, that's important, but the most important thing is the prayers. So prayers to the devotees and the Lord, which these are the five P's I felt that, you know, which can help us to practice determination. So we see that, you know, that even Chaitanya Charitamrita, Pratapurudra, King Pratapurudra also showed this kind of determination. So many other characters are there. So many setbacks may come, and Pratapurudra's spiritual desire did not went down because of these obstacles. It was simply fueled. This spiritual desire just fueled with these obstacles. And these obstacles are basically what we see when we take our eyes of the goal. So these are the obstacles which are there. But when we are practicing with determination and focus, if that determination is lacking or that focus is lacking, even a small and insignificant issues can become a big block on our path to the spiritual life. So there are many examples, but I just wanted to quote. Prabhupada also practiced and exhibited this determination. But a few years back, I was reading this book, The Salted Bread, written by our Sarvabhaum Prabhu from Russia. So these two friends, Sarvabhaum Prabhu and Sachisut Prabhu, how they practice determination, their names are Sacco and Gago. And they were living in Russia. And how that time the government was preventing them, prohibiting them from distributing books, printing books. And they were actually put into jail. And they had to go through many things. We cannot imagine, if you read this book, you know, the kind of torture which they were given. It was like they were given injections, so which will affect their brains, functioning of their brains, physical torture. They just, like sometimes, you know, between the door, their fingers were put into the doors, and the doors were closed many times. The knuckles were broken. No, and they were, the name of this book is Salted Bread. Why this name is because they used to just survive in this condition, because they were not going to eat onion, garlic. And Russia, there is no jail which will provide, probably in India also, nobody will provide that kind of food. So they are just eating very poor quality bread, and they used to just add salt and eat that. And this they were doing not for 1 day, 2 day, 1 month, 2 months. For 730 days they survived just like this. And their beads were taken away. They were not allowed to chant. And they made the beads out of this bread. They added salt and many things, and then they created their own beads to chant. That is their determination to chant. And Sarvabhaum Prabhu says that one time, like, he fasted for 19 days. 19 days he fasted. so that, you know, he can create these beads. And they, by eating this food which is with only salt and bread, his gums and her teeth, they have become loosened up. So many tortures they have gone through. It is almost something like how Prahlad Maharaj went through when Hiranyakashipu was torturing. Something like that. But they exhibited that determination. And at the end, this Sachisut Prabhu, he left his body. And the person, Sarvabhaum Prabhu, survived. But Sachisut Prabhu, just few days before he was to be released, he left his body. And his cellmate who was there, he was telling that how this devotee, how this person was always smiling and trying to preach Krishna consciousness in that condition also. And when he left his body, he actually took the white robe, which is a chadar actually, and he made a dhoti. Then he made garland of papers, and he wore that garland. He wore the tilak with toothpaste. See, I mean, at that point also there is so much of creativity and so much of devotion was there. And he applied that, and he seated there. He was sitting at one place chanting the holy name, you know, and he was smiling and chanting. And this cellmate actually went out for some time, and when he came back, Sachisut Prabhu was still in that same position and chanting the holy name. And then he said that he's not moving, and so he just touched and he found that he was no more, had left his body. But you know, till the last moment he was determined. Both these people, you know, devotees, there was so much determination was exhibited by them. So these are the live examples in our life who are actually teaching us how to be determined and how this death, the spiritual death, you know, we should avoid this spiritual death in our life by being determined. So Srila Prabhupada has told that we have these books, we have the association and Srimad Bhagavatam. So these books and this association is the original Facebook. We talk about the Facebook. The books are the real Facebook, is the scriptures. And this should be done face to face in the association of devotees. That is the real shelter. And if we can do that, then we can achieve the real success and avoid. There will not be any fear of death for us. Thank you very much for your patience and tolerance. I must have spoken something beyond my realizations, but thank you for bearing me. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna.